Right, the kingdom and prayer. We have it in a key. 2 weeks ago, Janet and Simon spoke to us about the kingdom and prayer. And just in summary, they said prayer is primarily about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Elements of prayer: adoration, being right before God, being persistent in prayer, and they spoke about fasting. Our brief today is the kingdom and prayer, but focusing on making a difference to the spiritual health of a community. So where are we going? We're going to talk about communities, prayer strategy, spot the difference, but in words, not pictures, which we hope will be thought-provoking, and then there'll be a summary. So, communities. In the more than 47 years we've been married, we've lived briefly in Oldham, 3.5 years in Zambia, more than 20 years in Ravenshead, 19 years in France, 3 years in Kirkby. So they're well-defined communities that you could say would be on our hearts that we'll be praying for. But there are other communities, aren't there? There could be our neighbourhood, our families, people at work, maybe those we walk the dog with. Communities. But whichever community it is, the principles of prayer for those communities will be the same. So anything we're saying today will apply to anything you can dream up in your head for you would be a community. And I really think that when we pray for communities, more than 90% of the time we're focusing on people. Our prayer is for people. Joshua, Terry and Tony's 2-year-old son, our grandson, likes to walk along on his own, well, with you, but not holding your hand or anything. And he's very happy doing that, walking along in the park. When you get to a point where you're on the pavement and you're near a dangerous road, we'll say to him, "Hold my hand now, Joshua, please, because it's dangerous here. There's a lot of cars and I want you to hold my hand." And Joshua's response to that is, "I'm holding my own hand." And he does. He holds one hand with the other. Now, we know, don't we, that that's not a place of security for him. That he's actually could be putting himself into danger. But don't we do that sometimes ourselves? We'll want to go it alone. But when we're in communities, we don't have to go it alone. 2 weeks ago, Janet talked to us about the Ashwood Prayer Shield, and I'm going to repeat it because I think it is so important for our own community that we're all part of. It looks like this. There are copies over there on the table if you don't have one. And at the top, it says, "Powerful Prayer." At the time that it was given to us, we were asked, if we were in a life group, to have the names of the life group people, the name of the life group leader there, so that we could pray for one another. And it says, "I am praying God's blessing, favour, protection and growth for..." And then that's your place to put the names. The name of your own life group leader too. On there was also Graham and Molly. At that time, not because of Graham's health, but because Graham and Molly were the senior leaders. You may remember 2 weeks ago when Janet was talking about it, I put my hand up and said, "Can we put Claire and Matt on there, please, who are now the senior leaders," but not removing Molly and Graham. Why? Why do we need to pray for them? Well, they're our spiritual cover before God. Bottom line, they're standing before God for us. They have help, of course. There's other leaders. Our life group leaders are there. Possibly because they're more aware of the danger we may put ourselves into if we step out of line, if we step out of cover, the protection that we could have. So let's use the protection, the shield that we could have. Let's put ourselves in a place where we can be secure. And this, Molly, is where I'm saying something to Graham, which has been recorded. I'm saying it because we want to continue praying for Graham and Molly. And I feel that what I'm going to share may help you to stand within the prayer for Graham that I saw 2 weeks ago. But I was taken back to July. I'm talking to you, Molly, as if I'm talking to Graham. I was taken back to July when I think if Graham had looked in the mirror then, he would have been a little bit disappointed with his hair that had gone much thinner, changed colour to grey. And when it was said to him, you know, Graham, when it grows again, it might be curly. And I'm not sure that he could go that way at the time, but have you seen Graham's hair recently? It's curly. At that time in July, August, even into September, we weren't too sure that Graham and Molly were going to manage to join Gary and I with a holiday that we'd booked in Cyprus in a villa with its own swimming pool. But they did, and we had a jolly good time together. A swimming pool there. Graham wanted to swim. 3 steps down a ladder into the pool. Now, Graham's foot is a real nuisance to him. Doesn't have a lot of feeling in it, sometimes none, sometimes pins and needles. But you can see it's not a help to him when he's trying to move. But through determination and perseverance, Graham found a way of getting down those steps. And he wasn't sure whether he could swim. But we've proved, Graham, on the screen with a photo that you swam. Then 10 days ago, on the Friday evening when we were together in pursuit of the miraculous, Irene Bell, Stuart's wife, prayed something like this, that God would touch Graham from head to foot. And that really shouted at me, head to foot. Look what God has done, Graham, to your head. I'm really looking forward to the rest following right down to your foot. And that's where I feel that we can stand and pray for Graham.
Okay. I can have a go now. To carry on, a premise. Prayer is the key to unlocking God's will. Are we okay with that? Yeah? That's why prayer was put up in the key. Because it's the key to unlocking God's will. Okay, let's start with a few truths. Firstly, God is generous. Is that true? Yeah, well, the Bible tells us so. To those who use well what they're given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. Matthew 25:29. Secondly, we can stand on all of his promises. I haven't done it on there, but I've underlined the word all in my notes. Freedom in Christ comes back to that time and time again. We can stand on the truths and the promises of God. 2 Peter 3:8-9. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise. We often think he is, don't we? As some people think. No, he's been patient for your sake. Thirdly, and this is something that Simon and Janet brought out a couple of weeks ago, we need to be in that right place with God. 2 Chronicles 7:14, I guess most people could quote it. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. Again, as Simon and Janet said, this is true. It's just being in that right place. It's true and equally true whether we're praying individually or whether we're praying collectively. Right? There's a need to be in the right place. And let's remember that we're talking here generally about praying for community and generally praying collectively. Okay? Right, let's have a look at prayer strategy. Oh, that's good, getting these up. Okay, this is the model that I'm going to talk about is very much based on the Lord's Prayer. I'm not going to read it all through. You can read that for yourself if you don't know it. And also a little booklet called Crafted Prayer, which was produced by Graham Cook quite some years ago. And I was trying to see if it's still available. Well, I found it in Amazon for £66. There was only one copy. Not sure whether they even had it. I also found it on an American site for $7. But then I couldn't find out how to send for it. But if you look on the internet, you will find various notes about this booklet. And I think there are probably still one or two copies around in church. And I thoroughly recommend this book. It'll take about an hour to read. And a life to live. Okay? Because it really is an incredible little booklet. And if we can get a hold of what's in there and tied in with the Lord's Prayer, then we're really going to change the prayer life for our community.
Excuse me, this wasn't planned. I forgot to say that on the back of the prayer shield is a crafted prayer for Ashwood.
Okay, in that prayer strategy, starting with a time of prayer, worship, thanksgiving. And that's reminding us who God is and what he's done for us. Essentially, that's for us, not for him. It's reminding us of who God is and who we are in him. Okay? He doesn't need the reminders about who he is. He knows. He's secure with it. But it does help us to keep in the right place in God and to remain God-centered and not self or anything other-centered. If prayer is the key to unlocking God's will, and you seem to generally agree with me that that was the case, then we need to know what God's will is. Don't we? Otherwise, how are we going to unlock it? Well, how do we do it? One simple word. Listen. I'm using that word listen in a general sense, because listening can be direct, God actually speaking to us. Roland Evans, founder of World Horizons, says that prayer should be 90% listening and 10% speaking. I'm not going to argue with these percentages, but just think for a moment. If God is so much wiser, cleverer, knowledgeable than we are, then doesn't it make a bit of sense to actually listen to him rather than talk to him? That way we just might get on a bit. Listening can be through the word, through our reading in our Bible, a phrase, a passage that stands out, something that really zaps us. We've all done it, haven't we? We've read our Bibles and probably read them right the way through several times. But isn't it amazing how you can read a familiar passage and all of a sudden, oh, I've never seen that before. Yeah? Has anybody done it? Yeah. Good. It's equally good to note that God can handle our questions. When you hear something or read something, he can handle it if we say, what, where, how, when, who? And he's willing to answer. Let's remember that we're not trying to force our will on him, but we're trying to seek his will. Let's be careful of tacking on that phrase, in Jesus' name, when it's actually our will that we're trying to put into place. I think we do it with every good intention, because Jesus actually said to his disciples, according to John 14:13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, a little bit later on, John clarifies what he's actually saying there. In one of his letters, 1 John 14:15, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Okay? Just clarifying that little phrase, asking, yes, but according to his will. Yeah? We all right with that? Okay, so far? Good. When we pray in collective situations, as there was a couple of weeks ago, as there will be again tonight, yes, we need to come ready to pray. We need to come ready to hear our voice, have our voice heard, rather. But we also need to listen to others. We need to hear what they are praying. Do you know, it really is amazing how often a little prayer from someone, sometimes just a word, can lead on to something else and to something else. And before we know it, we have built a prayer together. Because no one of us has the right to have heard everything. But if we all hear our little bits and put it together, we will have a very powerful prayer. We were reminded a couple of weeks ago by Martin that if you have two coals in a fire, if you separate them, they go out. If you bring them together, they increase the heat. And I can assure you, we used to have a log fire. If you put two logs together, they burn hot and keep going. But gradually, it diminishes, and you just have to push the logs back together again. And off goes your fire. Because there's a reflection of heat between the two. And it builds. Right, I'm going to move on to another point, because I really do feel that is so important, that listening. If we don't get hold of anything else, get hold of the fact that we need to listen. Okay? The rest will be a bit shorter. There's a need to remain focused on what we're talking about, what we're praying about. We've all done it, haven't we? We start thinking, oh yes, I'm going to pray now. But what about the shopping? And I haven't cleaned that, or I haven't done this. Nobody else has done that. Is it just me? Yep. And it happens in a group situation as well. And however good the thing may be, if it's not within the focus, it doesn't have a place.
Praying for healing in the streets, for Kirkby. A group of people out making contact with those that are walking past, a group of people in who are a prayer support to what is happening in Kirkby on the streets. So there were six of us together praying for healing on the streets in Kirkby. And suddenly there's a prayer for Israel. And I know my eyes shot open and I thought, where has this come from? I don't have a problem with praying for Israel. But I do have a problem praying for Israel in the middle of a meeting, supporting those that are out, making contact for healing on the streets in Kirkby. We might have a wonderful good prayer, but it has to be in the right place.
So let's remain focused. Next, unity. Effective prayer comes when there's agreement. Unity of heart, of mind, of purpose. This unity, agreement, and listening are key elements to prayer. They're key elements in crafted prayer. The bigger the community, the more agreement is needed, because the stakes are higher. And you know, one of the ways in which we can express our agreement?
Amen.
Amen. But do you know, have you listened to most prayer meetings and how few people actually say amen to others' prayers? I don't have a problem not saying amen, because if I don't agree with them, I don't say amen. But if I do agree, let's be saying it. It's agreeing and stating that agreement. And remember, we're stating this before the enemy. And we're agreeing together. Divided we fall, together we stand. So let's use our amens and be in agreement. Okay, I'm sorry, time's going. Let's be realistic. Let's know our limits. Okay? If we're praying for Coxmoor, let's pray for Coxmoor. Let's not start praying beyond that. But let's know equally, if we're praying for Coxmoor, that we actually have the authority to pray for what we're praying for. Don't bite off more than we can chew. Do you know, right in the beginning of the Bible, in Exodus 23:30, God says, little by little, I will drive them out before you until you've increased enough to take possession of the land. That talks about having sufficient authority to deal with things further on, but just dealing with what we can deal with at the time. Okay? Next point, don't leave a space, don't leave a void. Luke 11:24-26 talks about an individual, but it's equally true for a community. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert searching for rest. But when it finds none, it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds that its former home is all swept and in order. And when the spirit finds seven other spirits, more even than itself, and they all enter the person and live there, so that person's worse off than before. So if we're going to pray something out, that leaves a gap. Now, nature, anybody who's done any science knows that nature doesn't like a vacuum. And vacuums get filled. So, what are we going to pray in? Well, if we're not sure, ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill the gap, to take the place. Next, if we're in doubt, or if we're unsure what to do next, pray a blessing. All right? You can't go wrong if you pray a blessing anyway. Or, pray in the opposite spirit to what you think is there. Okay, so if you're talking about just negative things, then pray positively. If you're hearing confusion, then pray in clarity. Okay, go in the opposite way. I was very impressed the other day with an email we received about somebody who was unsure quite of what to do in a situation. And they prayed a blessing. I thought, great. They're safe, they're secure, and they certainly haven't done any harm and probably done some good. The next one, have a bit of wisdom. Or at least a bit of common sense. Yeah, be wise. Don't stick your neck out. Don't get yourself in a place of damage. I haven't said a lot about it, but it makes sense, doesn't it? And the last one for this section, just to say that often these kinds of prayers, we're holding ground. We're holding on to what is ours. Just occasionally we set out to take ground from the enemy. And that's what we call spiritual warfare. Now, some people get frightened by that term. But I would just want to say to you, there's nothing to be afraid of if we take good advice. Yep.
Okay, spot the difference. Try and be brief. Praying for a town, or a big town, a city, you don't call them cities in France, Marseille, about 10 years ago. Gary's already talked about this before, but I don't make any apologies because it's a comparison between a different event. The prayer was a church that was an inter-church group, coming from churches where each pastor was in agreement with what was happening. So they were happy to say, I'm covering what you're doing. There was an agreed vision, praying at the old gates of Marseille to release things for the present. There was unity. The strategy put every time we met to pray was to wait on the Lord beforehand. Somebody did research on what had happened in history in that area, which they shared. Then we spent time walking around together. Well, walking around in that place for 20 minutes, came back together and shared. One of the things that was seen as we were in a particular place in Marseille, which was an old gate near to the port, was that there were like sculptures of heads of Poseidon, or Neptune if you prefer the Roman name, I think. And somebody straight away said, oh, this weekend Marseille is going to celebrate 2,600 years of its existence. And it's going to do that by having a parade of boats, a naval cade as they called it, coming in to the port, which brings you near to the middle of Marseille. And it's going to be headed up by a statue of Poseidon. Whereupon you can imagine, we all felt, no, God doesn't want that. God doesn't want any false gods welcoming into Marseille. So we were in total agreement that this should not happen. But not wanting to say, make it rain, please, Lord, and all the thousands of people there would be disappointed, etc. We just found ourselves praying, do something, Lord. Amen. And this is what he did. That's the statue, in fact, wasn't a solid thing. It was made of a spinnaker sail material filled with balloons and had been put on a lying down on a barge that was being brought from the body of water near where we had been praying, coming round to be brought into the old port of Marseille, as it's called, which is the area that is now for leisure boats and brings you right into the middle of Marseille. Now, background information is that there's a wind called the Mistral that blows down from the Alps, down the Rhone Valley, and when it blows for 3 days, 6 days, or 9 days. observation over a lot of years would confirm that. Now, the commentators are looking at what's going on here and going, there's been a gust of the Mistral. And these poor fellows couldn't believe it because the Mistral doesn't gust. Look what happened. Did God want a false god to enter into Marseille? No. I think we can leave that there. Thank you. Differently, spot the difference. 22 years ago, in a place called Allau, A-L-L-A-U-C-H, we'd gone out with a team to be with a pastor who had a vision to distribute Bibles in his area. So it was before we lived in France, but it was a time when we continued to take teams out every Easter. And it was the Easter prior to us actually finally moving into France. We were prayed out from the church to do Bible distribution. We were covered for Bible distribution. Suddenly, we find ourselves involved in something, not part of our vision, but we just kind of got carried along, and were asked by this pastor if we would go to a certain area. Allau is, it joins on to Marseille, a certain area, and pray in a field. Okay. When we arrived, there was two teams, ours and one from Reading. And as soon as we arrived, there was total disagreement because the pastor would not accept one of the people who was coming from Reading. So you can imagine we began to feel a bit uneasy. We certainly did not have unity. We were briefly told that witchcraft practices took place on that land, and that's why we were there to pray. So we stepped onto the land. Well, I didn't know if we were even trespassing. So I'm beginning to think, I'm not sure I want to be here. And then I'm following the pastor around, who's just dropping little bits of paper down on the ground. And I hate litter. And I thought, oh no, I don't like that. I picked one up and it was actually a Bible verse, but I still didn't like it. And so by this time I'm feeling a bit very uneasy. So I kind of sidled up to Gary, got hold of his hand, and, well, was I afraid? 2 weeks later, having returned back, I suddenly collapsed. Actually, I was at church. I needed taken to hospital because I was out. At hospital, they said, can't find anything wrong with her. Interestingly, that same night, in conversation with the pastor in Marseille by telephone, he told us that his wife had suddenly collapsed that day at the same time as I had. Coincidence? I don't think so. The enemy? I believe so. I'd left an open door. The outcome of that was that for 6 months, I really was not well at all. I could barely walk. If I could walk, I couldn't think. And if I thought, I couldn't walk. The doctor said it was post-viral syndrome. The enemy clearly was having a go because he didn't want us to be moving to France. It was the time when we needed to resign from our posts in education. It was the time when we needed to sell a bigger house to have a smaller house for Terry and her brother who weren't coming with us. It was a time when all our preparations had to be made to go to France. But I'd left the door open to the enemy.
Well, as you can see, long term, he didn't win. But what can we learn about those two stories, both involving the same area? One had a fairly successful outcome, as we saw on the video. And the other one had a slightly less successful outcome. We don't know what happened as far as the field was concerned, by the way. So what can we learn about if we compare these two? Successful and unsuccessful, if you like. Let's have a look. The first one. First point is to do with authority. When we prayed in Marseille about that statue, we had authority. We were praying for the town, and we had the delegated authority of the pastors behind us. We weren't going in as cowboys, even if there were no Indians. Secondly, we knew what we were about when we were praying in Marseille, as opposed to praying in Allo. We were focused on exactly what our job was, and we stayed that way. And I have to say, it was over a period of weeks. That was just one of the gateways we prayed in. Thirdly, we had a unity of heart and mind and purpose. Remember, in Allo, there was unease amongst the people. But in Marseille, we certainly were agreed. Fourthly, we knew God's will. We'd spent our time in researching, listening, sharing, and we concluded together that this is what God was saying. Whereas the other one, as far as I know, there wasn't any research done. We were just told this is what we were going to do. We were then in the right place in God. We certainly weren't afraid in Marseille, even though we knew what we were up against. There's no fear, because we knew we were working within God's will. We were in the right place with Him, and we were going for it. And I have to say, there were no comebacks on any individuals. Next, we were not telling God what He should do. Okay? We prayed His will, not ours. And lastly, we had wisdom. We didn't go beyond our limits. We knew what our limits were. There were a whole host of other things we could have prayed. But those were our limits. And we prayed within them. And we really came in the opposite spirit. The spirit of the place said, we want to welcome false gods. And we prayed against that. We said no to that. And one final thing, which there isn't a pointer for, because it's part of wisdom. We finished with a prayer of protection for all those who've been involved and for their families at home. Now, I think that's also an important step. If we're going to take the enemy on his own ground, or what he thinks is his own ground, then we need to make sure everybody's protected. Okay? Amen?